tomorrow till you see your prosperity today and you appreciate where you are today. Realize what you do have and what God has given you and what you are walking in. Until you're able to confess what you are right now, you'll never be able to be that tomorrow. It kind of goes along with your confession. One, you don't ever confess, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be this. That's nice. But really, a positive confession is what you truly are now. What you truly are now. One of the scriptures we want to talk about tonight is Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Anybody ever heard of that before? The truth is, did Jesus warn us about serving both God and money? That you can't serve God and money at the same time, that it's hard to be focused on God and to be focused on money at the same time. And a lot of people have gotten that confused with being prospered and being Christ-focused at the same time, right? Actually, when we read the scripture, we find that Jesus is talking about trust. That serving is basically the word that you can interchange with that would be trust. Say trust. For what you trust in is what you're usually going to serve. In this scripture, he is saying that you can't trust both God and money at the same time. Your trust must be in one or either the other. It is possible to trust God and still have money. Let's look at the scriptures and see that. All right. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, what two things did Jesus say you cannot serve simultaneously? God and what? These two things cannot be served simultaneously. You can't do it. So you got to make up your mind, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve in all that you do, and who are you going to please? So why do you work? What are you working for? Because if you don't work, you don't eat, right? So you're trusting your job to do what? Support you. Yeah, support you. Right? You cannot serve both God and money at the same time. And whatever you serve and whatever you look at as your source will become your source. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What does God do? Gives us all things in what measure, in what manner? What? So, In the same passage of scriptures, God gives us all things richly to do what with? To do what? God gives us all things richly to do what with it? So is it all right to enjoy riches? God is in on my enjoyment of riches. I want you to know that God wants you really to enjoy yourself. It gives him pleasure to do that. God wants you to enjoy yourself and that he will give you all things richly that you might enjoy it. So we are not to serve money, but we're to serve God. So what does God want you to do if you're rich? What instructions are the rich people to have and walk by? According to the scripture that we just read. What? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. What are they instructed to do? They're instructed to trust God, and what are they instructed not to be? High-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. You have to tell people, those of us, how many of you have an intention to be very, very wealthy? Really? How many of you got that intention? You're going to be very, very wealthy. Well, you better start to prepare yourself for great wealth. How do you prepare yourself for great wealth is never trust your wealth. Amen. Ever. Don't trust it when you got a little bit of it. Don't trust it when you get a lot of it. Money goes and comes, goes, and comes again. Don't ever trust in money, because God is not limited by finances to bless you. trust in God, never, ever, 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 ever in money. That's a stumbling block for many people, and that's what he's basically talking about, that you can't serve both two masters. You can't trust in wealth and finances and trust in God at the same time. You've got to choose which one you're going to be able to trust in. What do you think the word uncertain riches mean? What are uncertain riches? They come and they go. All riches, no matter how much money you got, all riches are always, anything earthly is uncertain. And the only thing that truly is certain is what? God. Faith is certain. Knowing that it's going to work out and his word's going to be true, you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to work out, but the promises of God are truly once certain. So you can't allow earthbound things and earthly things to dictate how you're going to feel about life, how you're going to feel about yourself. Many people think, I'm not a man because I ain't got any money, you know, or I'm not this. You know, we let earthly things tell us what we are. Don't ever trust in uncertain riches. That's how you get a lot of rich people that are actually broke. Amen. Terrified. Because they actually know deep on the inside that they got stuff that can't be trusted. Why are people constantly, they got big bucks and constantly investing to get more and more and more and more. Why do they need so much of it? Because there's a chance it could go away. Think about it. There are some people that could just stop right where they are and they got more than most people would have in their entire lifetime. But why do they keep going for more? Because it really talks to them. Money in itself will tell you, listen, play games with me. I won't be here. I'll leave you. Money says that to people. Money talks to you. Money will tell you. Anybody got a $100 bill, you look at a $100 bill and you say, I love you, $100 bill. And $100 bill might say, I love you too, but I'm going to go. That money has intention of walking. Money walks. Money is not faithful. Money is not faithful. Money is meant to go out as a servant. Resources and finances are servants. God is faithful. So don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the blessings and provisions of God. Because God might want to bring your miracle about in several ways. We're going to share the testimony of Jesse's vehicle. Well, we didn't have really any resource, but we were believing God. We knew that we were doing what God wanted us to do, and we were just believing God for a vehicle. And just speaking the vehicle. Didn't have the money to pay for it. Didn't know how it was going to come about, but we just knew it was going to come. And I'm still believing on that vehicle, and I'm going to get it in Jesus' name. Amen. And one day we'd just gone out, and all of a sudden, as I was leaving this place, somebody just gave me a set of keys and said, this is your car. 97 vehicle, just given, right there. And it was a 98, a 97 Firebird, just handed over. There's the keys, just walked off with a 97 car, a year-old car, didn't even have 20,000 miles on the car. Just given. Well, we trust in God, right? See, many people would be limited because they look in their checking account or they look in their bank book and they allow their bank book to tell them what God can do. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't ever limit what God can do. You just be obedient. Be obedient. God will make a way out of no way. And many people are so stuck with their little window. And finances become their little windows. Expect money. You know, expect money because money truly is a sign of authority. Expect money to come in resources. Don't. I'm not just saying always go around with no money in your pocket, but don't allow the fact that your finances have not materialized at that point to cause you to live poor or to shrink back from your responsibility. You can walk by faith. Faith is the wealthiest thing that you can have, is the wealthiest substance on the earth today. I'm absolutely certain of that, because you get people that have the means of doing things, but faith is the wealthiest and the most costly substance on the earth today. The Bible says, now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. So faith is a substance. Faith is substance. So faith is the substance of things that you hope for in the spiritual realm. So we are not to love money nor trust in it. So you need to make that confession. Say, I'm going to get a lot of money in Jesus' name, but I'm never going to trust in it. Say, I'm never going to trust it. Never, ever, ever, ever going to trust it. Things change. People change. It's just paper that some man's in control of. I mean, the government can do whatever they want to do tomorrow, and it's just paper, and our world would go upside down over some paper. It don't mean a thing when you really think about it, you know? People were going zappy. People were going crazy. We're even, I mean, the system and all this, it's all man-made. Don't you ever trust in uncertain riches, but trust in God. And that's basically what it says. You cannot serve both money and God at the same time. You can't. You cannot be focused on Jesus Christ and what God wants you to do and what God wants you to become constantly basing everything really on your checkbook or what money you got coming in and what money's going out. Faith will not work in that arena. We have to do it by faith, and faith pays off. And I believe as you walk in faith and you live in faith, no matter how long it takes you to do that, guess what? Money will follow when it doesn't make a difference. I think God allows money to come in on certain individuals when it doesn't make a difference. Money will follow those that walk by faith. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow, are in hot pursuit of you as you walk the road of faith. Many people want to walk into stuff. Listen, the provision will follow you where you got to go. His word will lead you, but the provision will follow you where you need it to be. All right. Anybody ever heard this? Let's go here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 through 11 and 17 through 19. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Listen, contentment is absolutely necessary. The moment that you refuse to be content is the moment you forfeit blessing. Discontentment is an insult to God. If you're not in content with little, you don't deserve much. And just because you're content with something doesn't mean God's going to leave it there with you. But that's all you're going to have. I mean, you better enjoy your life. It took God a long time to get you where you are. He had to work miracles there. What an insult to God. I mean, to really think that you believe, you'd have read a scripture tonight about being a millionaire, so all of a sudden, because you're not that millionaire overnight, your life has no value. And nothing is important. And what God has done right now, this day that the Lord has made, which is the only day you really got, doesn't mean anything. Blessed people are able to see the blessing of where they are right now. Even though I'm believing God for great riches, I thank God for where I am right now. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. What? Say, coveting after money nullifies faith. Many people are stuck because they could have had stuff already. But they have erred in their faith and went the road of money on an issue and missed their blessing. Coveting after money nullifies faith. Do all that you know to do, but you got to realize that God does not. Resources and abundance is going to come, but you got to learn to prosper where you are and walk in faith now. Walk in faith. I mean, how many situations have I been up against where the money just was not there? But I knew I had to do something. I knew something was coming. I mean, there were many trips that I had to take. We would go on these trips and different things. And you when you're in a ministry at times, even they would your finances would have to be there before you go. And, you know, deadlines would be getting up. And I'd be looking at the thing, and somebody would say, how's your account doing? Are you going to be, you know, you're on the program. You got to go. Where's your money? I said, I believe I'm going in Jesus' name. Either I'm going to sprout. If God said I'm going to go, I'm going to sprout wings and go. Walk on the water or go. And it's going to be there when I need it to be there. I'm not going to allow the money not being in the bank before it's actually needed to be in the bank. I didn't have to go. You know, I don't care if I had 5 hours to go. Should I allow that time frame to deter my faith? Should I allow that time frame to deter my faith? Absolutely not. Could I do any more? Is my worrying going to bring that money in any faster? No, what's that going to do? That's just going to nullify. It's going to nullify my faith. So I just stood there. You know, and just in every case where I had to do something, it was there. It showed up in ways that you didn't expect. You didn't have to go this and go this way. They came in and said, you know, I was thinking, well, I'm going to be going eating popcorn tomorrow morning. Everybody else is going to Europe. Somebody came in and said, you would not believe this. I said, yes, I would. And they didn't go around begging. But just all of a sudden, somebody had already intended to do it anyhow. They just paid for the entire trip, plus some. Plus some. So you were able to go. So don't serve money. And don't ever allow money. Now, there should be, now, we want to go debt-free. Don't go and get yourself stupid. Now, we can mess up in that area where you go and obligate yourself financially for things when you don't have the money to back it up. Because not everybody that you're dealing with on a business level has the same faith that you have. And it's not fair to put them on your faith venture. You know, they're not saved. You know, you expect the gas and electric company or, you know, or our landlord. We put that person there. Just believe in faith with us. She said, no, I didn't put you in that building by faith. I didn't just look in that building and y'all, you know, no. Did you get faith keys when you unlock the door and you go in there? Are y'all sitting in there in faith having service? No. See, Christians can be a trip sometimes. You got to know where your faith is. You know, don't make other people suffer with your faith unless they have to. Now, we're a corporate body. Now, things in regard to things of the faith, we can't just sit up there and obligate and sign a bunch of contracts that you know you're not going to be able to fulfill and call that faith. That's foolishness, and that's how we get in debt. Faith checks, they used to call them. That was a big thing. Anybody ever heard of faith checks? No, there were some sincere people, and they would write faith checks. They didn't have the money in the bank, and they knew that they didn't have no job, didn't have anything, and they'd go write faith checks to ministries. We got several faith checks in this one, big ones. And those faith checks would cost us big bucks. I mean, you think you just got blessed, and we'd start dancing and go put the money in the bank, and we'd pay every bill we had, and it'd come back, boing, boing, you know, and you go back and say, here's your faith check that cost me $300 in NSF fees. So we're going to learn to walk by faith. When you're walking by faith, don't ever allow the devil to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. You got to be obedient in the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people are walking, but they're not walking in faith, they're walking in fear. Let me tell you what, you'll never be a millionaire until you learn to walk by faith with what you got. If you can't peacefully wait, you won't peacefully survive. All right. Is it money the root of all evil? I'm asking that question. Is money the root of all evil? Yes or no?
No.
Money is not the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of evil. Doesn't it say that? According to verse 10, let's go there. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. It's the truth. Whenever you get people that fall in love with money, kiss them goodbye. And that's the sad thing about faith churches. People get in here in faith churches, they hear all these good promises and stuff like that. They get a hold of the blessings of God. You can kiss them goodbye. They didn't run off with money. Money just works for God. You know, you're married to Jesus Christ, you're married to God, and money's just a servant in the household of God. And it's like people getting in God's house, and God's out paying all the bills and doing all these things, and people run off with the waiter. You ever seen it happen? I see it happen all the time. Give it a little time. He'll leave them. Don't run off with the servants of God. Many people, you know, it's like those people that got blessed of God. He blessed 10 of them. How many came back?
One.
Money's just a servant of God. Money isn't God. Money's a servant of God. You know, you're going to have a miserable life when you go run off with a flunky. Stick with God. Say, I'm going to stick with God. And God wants to make you a ruler. There is a level of faith. I'm going to tell you the truth, people. I have not gotten to that level yet, but I can move in a little bit. And we've moved some resources. You know, I would tell you how much damage we really did on the devil, but I don't want to get Judas concerned. You're going to learn about the spirit of Judas. Some people, I mean, they have to think that churches are broke and churches don't have anything because it keeps them at peace. But when they find out that the church has got power and he's got ability, and they move big things. I mean, Judas gets concerned. I've seen God prosper people.
Yes.
People didn't even deserve it. You are going to get blessed whether you like it or not. I believe all the supernatural stuff is real and true. And I believe that God is out there looking to prosper you and make you a millionaire. I really believe that. That is really my confidence in the Spirit of God, that God wants to hook you up in a spiritual way, supernaturally. And some people can't deal with that supernaturally. But even if the supernatural wasn't there, it is there. But even if it wasn't, you'd prosper just by hearing a good report and hearing a positive message. Statistics tell you that. You go to a church and hear a positive message, Christians make more money. They don't get sick as easy. And they live longer. You know, a tree by the fruit it bears. So it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So listen, money is not evil. Write that down. Money is not evil. Everybody get a dollar bill out and look at your dollar bill. We're going to give you a lesson. We're going to kill some demons. We're not going to take an offering right now, so you can pull it out. It will go back with you. They think they bring their money to church, and they think George is a slave, and they bring him through the church like they're going through the Underground Railroad. Stay in the pocket. Don't let them see you. We'll be out of here in no time. Shh. Come on. Come on. Don't let them see you. Shh. Hold on. You can take it back with you. All right. Now, look at this and say, you are not evil.
Money is not evil.
Now, you need to talk to your money and say, I'm not allowed to love you. I won't love you. Because when I love you, bad things happen. Now, I want you to look at this dollar, and I want you to look at this. Money is neutral. Say, money is neutral.
Money is neutral.
Money is neutral. Money is not evil. Money is not necessarily good. It's just neutral. You know how money becomes evil or good? Depending on whose hand it's in. Depending on whose hand it's in. Anybody ever heard of William Booth? And William Booth was the general of the South. He started the Salvation Army. And William Booth needed some money. Can you believe that? You know, that the angels weren't delivering him food to feed all those people. Well, William Booth needed some money. Christians were too religious to give him money. They would just pray for him. People come up to him hungry and wanted food. And, you know, God bless you, Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus loves you. Their stomach's growling. And William Booth needed some money. I want everybody to go to the grocery store and load your cart up this week. And I want you to go to the front line and just pray. No, I'm serious. Go there and just pray. All right? And I also want you, I don't want you to pay your light bill next month. Just don't pay it. Don't pay it for 3 months and sit there and believe. And speak to the gas and electric company. Say, I'm a believer in Jesus' name. But anyhow, William Booth needed some money. And somebody that was not the best Christian, I think it was... It wasn't even a Christian. It was a non-believer, an alcohol from a beer joint or someplace, gave him the money he was believing for. And he was taking that money and going to do the will of God with the money. And somebody said, are you going to take that money and use that money? William Booth turned around and looked at that brother and said, I'm going to take that money. I'm going to wash it in the tears of widows and orphans and the blood of Jesus Christ and use it to the glory of God. You don't know what that money. You don't know. I mean, you holding on to this money. Money is only evil or good depending on whose hands it's in. Money's two-faced too. If you don't control it, I mean, it'll do all kind of stuff. You have no idea where this boy's been. You think this little boy's saved? This boy's been all over the place, and you hugging all over it, won't let it go. This boy has been everywhere. You hear me? I mean, he'd been in some drug deals, probably. This boy's been everywhere. Don't trust it. He just looks good when he's in your hands. I'm sure he's never bought a bottle of wine, alcohol, cigarettes, or nothing like that. If he goes to buy the wrong kind of magazine or something, you know, he just won't do it. He goes to the counter and he goes to buy a beer, and that money said, I can't do that. I'm saved. Money's neutral, people. Money's neither evil nor good. It depends on whose hand it's in. Money is simply a tool for doing evil or doing good. Money is simply a tool for doing evil or doing good. And when you do nothing with it, God calls that evil.
Right.
If you're just holding on to it, you're loving it. And put it to work. Move it. All right. See, doesn't the Bible say it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? Anybody ever heard that? It's more difficult. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" And now he said eternal life. Now this eternal life is abundant life. Doesn't just mean to live forever. Okay? Notice that this was a rich man seeking this abundant, prosperous, eternal life. Wow. He had that part right, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things I have done from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." This guy had a lot of stuff, but he had some lack here. He said, "One, you're broke, brother, in this one area. Go thy way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor." He said, "Sell whatever you have." Notice he said, "Whatever you have. Get rid of what you have." That's a lot of things people can't. Never, a lot of people, you know, this is really crazy, but this is an abundance thing. Listen, before you can get into God's prosperity, you got to get rid of everything you have. Seriously. Does that mean you got to get rid of all your money? Yeah. Until there's nothing left but abundance of God. What are you talking about, Brother Rod? You, anybody ever heard of money laundering? You ever heard of the term money laundering? Well, you got to launder your life. Flip it completely. First of all, it's impossible for you to get rid of everything you have, because the more you give, the faster it comes back to you. It's scary. Have anybody been laundered in here? Our first year, just about everybody was laundered in this place. Meaning that everything you're living off of at that point is something that came through faith. It came through God, abundance in God. The thing you started with, it's gone. And what you're living on now came strictly from faith, came strictly from the Holy Ghost. You'll never be without when you go that way. You'll never receive new life until you completely get rid of the old life. Study it on your own. "One thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatever you have, make an investment. Give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Oh, wow. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't it be great if I just preached that all over here? Everybody go just give everything to the poor. Don't even bring it here to Nation's Church. We're not going to pay our light bill. Don't bring it here to Nation's Church. Just give it away to the first bum you see on the street. And you're going to have treasure in heaven. Half of y'all in here. Not half of you. 90% of you in here. I know you. You know what? You would do the same thing he did. You do the same thing that he would do. And he said, "Give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and take up your cross." Man, all right, get rid of all your money and pick up the cross of Jesus. Hallelujah. People, we want to tell it just like he said.
Yeah.
I mean, people want to make it friendly. They want to make it nice. They want to make it sweet. And they want people to think that that's all that it's about. No, Jesus, this will hit everybody. I mean, we can tiptoe through the tulips all you want to. But when you get into abundance, you get into the Christian lifestyle, you're going to be confronted with the cross of Christ. Point blank. And it's going to cost you everything you've got. And you've never met Jesus if you're keeping anything you've had before. I don't care. It's the truth. Happened to me and still is. Jesus is going to alter your life. He's going to affect your shoe store. He said it to this guy. Why wouldn't he say it to you? See, Eric, you need help. He's the type of person that gets in your business. He gets in your business. He gets in your stuff, and he hits you in an area. And somebody, I mean, we'd be crazy to preach a bunch of messages and tiptoe around where he was at. You'd be missing out on Jesus. You'd be missing out on life. That's a part of what he is. He's the richest guy in the world. Richest guy in the world, created everything. And he's not going to mess with your stuff. Only a person that, now, see, you wouldn't be offended if you knew who he was. See, anybody else would get afraid when you don't. Now, listen. If Bill Gates came with me, and I went out with Bill Gates, and Bill Gates said, "We're going to go out to eat, buy that woman over there a cup of coffee," I'd whip out my wallet and buy that woman a cup of coffee. It's no big deal. Let me mess with you a little bit. People don't want God messing with their money. People want to get all in God's money, but they never want him to get involved in their money. It's the truth. You're sitting up here talking about an abundance meeting. Oh, first of all, before you get into his abundance, he's going to completely trash your stuff. Nobody had a problem when we were talking about God wants to make you a millionaire, God makes you super duper abundant. But before he can do that, he's got to get your dependence away from what you have. He said, because that would have been a problem for the rest of his life. His own resource, his own ability would have been a problem for the rest of his life, what he can do and what he can pull off. The biggest blessing that you can ever get is to get beyond what you could do. I mean, God will completely strip you and get you out of league to where you have to depend on his finance and his ability to keep you where you are. And take everything, get rid of it, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. There's a nugget there. And come and take up the cross and follow me. Jesus was basically saying, listen, you think you're rich. You can't hang. You think you're not going to need that stuff in this where I'm going to take you. You can't afford the plates. There are a lot of people that had much more money. They could never afford to do half the things that I've done and half the things that God has called us to do. I'm serious. You'd be biting your toenails to figure out what believers can do and Christians can do. And God wants to do much more than that. You want to cross over. Jesus was basically saying, listen, you're going to work for me. You're not going to be working for that anymore. See, that money was that man's God. It was his Lord. He was a servant to it. He was addicted to it. It was his source. It was his security for the future. Am I still in the Bible? Yeah. Everybody bring your other magic marker next. Bring the highlighter and the black magic marker. For the stuff you like, just put that little yellow line on it that sticks out to you. Stuff you don't like, just black it on out. Let me low light this. Or low light it or low life it. Maybe your low life has come as a result of what you low light. Mm-hmm. Those hard things that we don't understand, you know, that we think God's a trip. He's trying to get over on me here. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get over on me over here. I'll fix him. Yeah, don't understand it. Don't accept it. Afraid of it. That's why it's easy. That's why that scripture comes in. You know, it's easy. Is it impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Yeah, it's almost impossible for rich people to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Very difficult. What's even worse than that is people that think they're rich. Is it impossible for people to think they're rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven? No, just stupid. Some say it's not impossible, just dumb. All right. And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Anybody got any great possessions? Anybody got any great possessions? Nobody got any great possessions? I'm so glad y'all taking this class. We're not going to ask you for your possessions, but anybody got any great possessions?
Yeah.
And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, multitudes usually get offended. Disciples get taught. Now, don't you think if Jesus was a nice guy, he would have just told why didn't Jesus tell the first guy what he told the disciples? First guy couldn't afford it. See? First guy couldn't afford it. There are many truths in the Bible that are in there, many nuggets in the Word of God, many deep truths that really work. And there are many of them that because of where we are in our own soul, prospered soul, and in our faith level and our confidence toward God that we can't even afford to hold the deep truths of God that bring about a change. And he saith unto his disciples, how hardly, hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. And his disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that what? For them that have? But for them that what? Trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and we've made that real religious and said it was the gate and all this other stuff. Whoop-de-doo. Who cares what it is? It's just hard. I mean, either one would have been right. Whether it was a sewing needle or a big camel, it still applies. We don't have to get all deep on that stuff. Whoop-de-doo. So it was a little gate. We get so caught up and we miss the big truth on trying to be deep. Okay? Then for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men, uh-oh, there's a nugget there, people.
Yes.
Did you catch the nugget?
Yes.
I guess they said, who then can be saved? They were all astonished, saying, who then can be saved? That ought to tell you that none of them, that some of them had some riches. They owned business. They owned their business, didn't they? They owned their own business. They had their own fishing boat.
Right.
Who then can be saved? Jesus was saying it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They might not have been as broke as what you thought they were.
Amen.
Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? And Jesus looking unto them, saying, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Say, all things,
are possible.
See, this rich guy, he loved and trusted in his riches more than he loved Jesus. Just because you come to church don't mean you're walking with Jesus. See, church is just a calling place. You know, come on. Anybody can sit up here and hear them, you know, and hear their little stuff on Sunday morning, all this other stuff, but you're going to get up and walk with them.
Amen.
See, this guy loved his money, his riches, and his life, and all this stuff more than he loved Jesus, and that was the problem. And some of us love stuff that ain't even there. I mean, that's not enough to love. I mean, we get tempted off a little bit. I mean, we get an extra $200, you know. Woo! We pay the bill, you know. We're just ready to go crazy. Oh, we didn't arrive. We on the easy street. We've been on the easy street for a whole 9 months. Come on, money, let's roll. I'd love to see people doing that sometime. I wish dollar bills, we need to do an animation or you know, or have a little movie and put some legs on some dollar bills and see people, how they do their money and see different people's life. You know, what some people are doing, you know. Money acting like gremlins. Mm-hmm. Look all sweet when they first get it. They get in their house. They got all that money all around them. That money turned the house up. We need to start to consider money like the crack pipe. People love the crack pipe. People love drugs. They love alcohol. Right? I mean, they can't separate themselves from it. Oh, gimme, 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 gimme. Money likes to take over. Money's a trip. Oh, you have to put money in its place every now and then. Oh, yes. Money will try to make you sing. Money's a choir director sometimes. Well, believe me. Money looking at each other and say, watch this. Yeah! Jump, jump. And money, all the dollar bills sitting up here laughing. Here I am. Some of our money playing hide and go seek with us. You know, I'm over here. Fuji! And we've been there, little African guy called us. They're too mean of us all the way over here. Over here. Come to Germany. Can't get there. Uh-huh. people like that? Money talking to them. Anybody call up your money right now and see what your money says to you. Pick up your phone. Pick up a little invisible phone and start talking to your money. What's that last thing your money been saying to you? Is it telling you the truth? Anybody had a bad relationship? Codependent relationship? See, money can be crazy. Anybody had a relationship? I'll be over there at 7 o'clock. I'll show up. I'll be right on time. You special to me. They don't show up when they say they're going to show up, do they? I'm coming. I'm going to bring my friends. We're going to have a big party. Yes, it causes people to lie. You start believing your money. There are a whole lot of people that built their plans on what their money then told them. Mm-hmm. There are a whole lot of made plans, and their money got together and said, now, we got it all together. We're going to be with you. We're going to work it now. Some people go down trusting in that stuff. How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Highlight that in verse 23. It's not hard for people that have riches, but for people that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Enter in. Because their money's out there, and they're not going to be able to. You know where your treasure is, people? In your spirit. See, God wanted that man to learn to live by faith. And to learn to walk in the Spirit and learn to walk by the Holy Ghost. And to learn to walk by the Spirit. He could not enter into. It's not saying just heaven. It's not basically what he's talking about, the kingdom to come, heaven to come. It's talking about the spiritual realm. For the kingdom of God is within us, even in our mouth. They are unable to operate into the spiritual aspect of abundance and prosperity because they don't have to. This community, people are not walking in the Spirit like they should be walking in the Spirit. Jesus is stating a fact of human nature. It's impossible for a rich person to stop trusting in his own wealth and to follow Jesus. But it is more difficult for him that would be for a person who has nothing else to lose. Are you stating that? How many got nothing else to lose? That's basically what you're saying. Listen, and if they don't have anything, they don't have anything else to lose. They might as well live by faith. Amen. That's what cracks me about people that don't got nothing else to lose. You know, I mean, it's really easy. I mean, they got widow's mite all around them. You know, but they'll hold on to them nickels. I mean, they can't even buy a candy bar for them. It'll be stuck in a pillow someplace in between the cushions. Listen, everything matters. When you get serious about what you got, and you get serious about sowing and serious about believing and taking your stuff seriously, that's when God gets serious with you. It's the truth. I wish you could hear what I hear sometimes and see what I see sometimes. You just look up at these things. It would crack you up. Let me tell you what, them nickels, dimes, and pennies and stuff, when you don't have a lot, what you do have means a lot.
Yeah.
What you do have means a lot. And what you have right now is going to determine what you have tomorrow by what you do, what faith you have in it. What kind of faith do you have with it? Are you going to use it to make an investment with it?